KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I am Joan. With me is
Caleb.
And Jason will be arriving soon.
Hooray.
Yes. If you're unfamiliar with our show, maybe you're just tuning in, we are a geek-centered talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about tech stuff.
Space.
There we go. I knew it. Yes.
Space.
Yes. Comic book, video games, movies.
3D printing.
3D printing, DARPA.
It covers a lot of... Now, the reason DARPA comes up a lot is because they're cutting-edge science, and robotics is sort of in that vein, and there's a lot of work done in that sector. So there you go.
There you go. And so we cover all that stuff, and we try to put a nice little fun spin on it. So, You know, you're not like, oh, I don't want to listen to this stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's these guys, what are they talking about?
What are they talking about? That's right. And you know what else we like as well? We love it when the audience participates in the show.
Yes, we do. And if you... Yes, you want to do that right now, but not while you're driving.
Yes.
You can go to robotsattack.me. That's our own website. We have all links to everything I'm going to describe next coming from there. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. And you can leave comments, suggestions, talk about stories, give your thoughts about things we discuss. You can like our Facebook page like Rick just did a moment ago.
Yes, thank you, Rick.
You're awesome.
You are awesome. And you know what?
Hmm.
Here's an assignment I'm going to give the audience.
Ooh.
Because it could have happened right now, but literally during our show, the new Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer is going to drop.
Ooh,
they're showing it over the Monday night football game. So here's my assignment for the audience. When it drops, tell us your thoughts or post it on our page. Like, we want to hear from you because...
Yes, please.
Yes, we want to know what you think of the new trailer. Like, I'm totally pumped to see. I'm hoping it's kind of a tease like the trailer we have now where you get some glimpses, but nothing too much. Like, you know, like I don't need to see a whole lot of things. So I'm hoping that's kind of how they do this next one.
You know,
just a little more taste of it, but not oversaturate us with it. And all speaking of that, I saw some tweets about movie like theater sites, like posting like some advanced tickets and like the sites were crashing. Like I don't know how they are right now, but like I tried, I don't know, maybe about an hour ago,
right?
Before our show started, and like I couldn't even get on Fandango. It was just I take that back. I could get on Fandango,
yes,
but when I clicked on The Force Awakens, I just saw the spin, like waiting, and then it went to the error page. Oh, something went wrong.
Yeah, your connection is timed out. Yeah, it's because you and about 15. million other people are trying to hit the exact same page, the exact same instant, probably on the same core servers, and all their CDNs probably falling over itself, going, "Oh my gosh, what did you guys do?"
Yeah, wait, I'm shocked. People are excited for this new Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
but yeah, so yeah, there's your assignment. You know, I can't force you to do it, but it would be awesome if you did, and. All those things that Caleb mentioned, our Twitter, Facebook, even email, whatever, we want to hear your thoughts since this is something that's like doesn't typically happen while we're doing our show. Like, you know, something pretty big in the geek world happening exactly during our live show. And since, you know, we're on the radio, we can't exactly watch, you know, like you know, we can't participate
in the same way as you, but yeah, we want to know what you think.
Yes. And then of course next week after we've watched it, how many times we end up watching it between us.
Yes.
You know, we'll definitely talk about it during Geek Talk, which is what we're going to do right now on the show.
Hooray.
So Caleb.
Yeah.
I know I normally ask you what you've been up to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change it up and talk about what I've been up to.
Nice.
So this past week, as you know, I've been pushing more towards trying to make this streaming thing.
Right.
You know, video game streaming thing on Twitch, a little more professional. Mm-hmm. So I invested in some better equipment. So that's, that's what I've been working on lately. I was putting together a new PC, which it's weird. It's like I'm putting together a PC not to play games, like not to do PC gaming, but because I still want to use my Xbox One, but I'm going to stream through, you know, Elgato through that. So it's kind of, when I've mentioned it to other people, like, oh, so you're going to do like PC gaming? I'm like, not exactly, but I am building a new PC because I need, you know, a good one to do.
Yeah, you need the processing power to do all the green screening and the overlays and fun stuff like that.
Exactly. So that's what I've been working on. So that's been interesting. So from putting the pieces together and pushing that power button and seeing the motherboard kick on and then die.
Oh.
And then come on and then die. And like trying to figure out for like hours and hours, like, what is going on? Okay, maybe I didn't put the CPU in right, or maybe this. Mm-hmm. And then like towards the end, when I'm thinking like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to send back maybe the motherboard and the processor or something. Like, I'm not really sure. Find one other thing. And it shows another plug. And I look at it and I'm like, you know, because, okay, the back up a little bit. I took the cords from the power supply that I wasn't using and kind of Velcroed them up, you know, kind of put them aside so they, you know, wouldn't be all over the place. And so I'm looking through those and I noticed on the picture, the plug, and I, in my brain, highlights, wait a minute, I remember a plug that would fit in this, that was in that bundle. So I unbundle it from the bundle. I don't know if that's a word, but I plug it in and I turn it on, and it does that same thing where it kind of kicks on and then shuts off and then comes back on and then stays on. And I'm like, yes, that was it. That was the problem. Like the motherboard's lit up, you know, everything. I was like, yes.
Hooray.
And then I'm like, okay, but you know what? I think I need a stronger power supply. So
it's very possible.
Just to be safe, because it had two of the plugs, and that one was only one. So I was like, okay. And I was looking back on it, like the new power supply that I ordered, it says like CPU on those plugs, but like the other one, it didn't. So I was like, dang it. If it had that labeled, I would have, you know, like known to put that in. And so yeah, it's been like little things like that of, you know, experimenting and making sure like, oh, I think I got all these plugged in. Like, hey, that's turning on. Okay. That's off. Okay. And then the latest thing was putting up the green screen and then playing around with the software once I got, you know, the PC running and everything like that. So, so it's been an adventure. I still have to play around with the lighting and the actual software itself, you know, playing with stuff. And,
Do you think it will be a more stable stream now that you have offloaded the processing from your Xbox over to another device?
I hope so. I'm hoping not having to rely on the Twitch app will be a good thing, because it hasn't been the most stable thing lately. And welcome, Jason. Jason has arrived.
Yes. Woo-hoo!
Speaking of things that are stable, Jason.
Well, mostly. See, most
that's
of
what
them.
I should have led in with that.
Yes. The infinitely stable Jason.
Yes. Ooh. But speaking of Jason, he's been creating for me these awesome new images for my Twitch thing, and you know, new logos, new banners, and all that stuff. And
fun.
Yeah, I've been pretty happy with them so far. It sounds like there's been some good feedback from multiple people, so it's a good thing.
Yeah,
I'll go check those out.
Yeah, I haven't put them up yet until like I'm ready, you know, ready to go. Hopefully, the goal is Wednesday to start the stream back up again.
Uh-huh.
You know? So the other thing that that I want to do next is now that I'm using this new software, I can actually have if I go through Twitch alerts, mm-hmm. I can actually have like little GIFs for follow animations and hosts and that sort of thing. And
fun.
I always like those, and people always like those. They'll pop up, you know, mm-hmm. on the screen, and they'll say their name and everything, you know,
right.
makes them feel special. And it's like, yes. And it kind of helps me like, not oh, someone's new follow, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I won't be able to do these because uh-huh. I mm-hmm. don't have the artistic talent that you guys have, but I'll need...
Don't sell yourself short. You have some artistic skills that you
kind of minimize. Figures, some stick figure ability here and there, I think.
They're pretty awesome. They're pretty awesome.
But I'll probably turn to you guys to create some cool GIFs mm-hmm. or GIFs, however you want to see them, yeah. I'll just hit both, so mm-hmm. it'll make one group happy. It'll make both groups happy.
There you go.
For each of those, you know, to make it even more professional.
Sounds great.
I feel like we need to unite both sides on that somehow by figuring out what the center ground sound is between
GIF or maybe say both.
I don't know. We need to figure out digitally how to morph them together and just stick with that, I think.
Or just switch over to animated pings like we've been like. They've been trying to get us to do for years now.
No, then people would be like pangs, and it would be a whole other thing. I think we need to solve this first, and then move on.
It'll be a whole other scary thing.
Speaking of scary things, the KSU NL Spookfest radio show. Attention KSU listeners, get ready for it to be spooked and creeped out on Friday, October 23rd from 9 p.m. until the witching hour, which is midnight in case you don't know. Legendary former DJ, KSU DJ Casper and Another Planet, Another Ghoul will be exhumed from the 7th for the 7th annual Halloween Spookfest. They will dig up an assortment of decomposed sounds and unleash the screams of trapped souls falling into the abyss of commercial radio industry. Music industry, sorry.
Creepy noises.
Very disturbing indeed. To ensure that you do not have an eternity of regret, mark your calendars in blood now. Blood. For Friday, October 23rd from 9 p.m. to midnight a.m., 12 a.m., for KSU's 7th annual Halloween Spook Fest, or you will be sorry.
Wow, that actually gave me shivers.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah.
The mom entity of KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, and KSU.org is the underground sound, one which you can live to tell about. Maybe.
All right, that sounds pretty spooky.
Blah.
So yeah, going back to that, that's pretty much. Woo, yes,
how do
segue.
You? How?
I know. Well, you know.
I didn't know we knew the Crypt Keeper personally.
Yeah, it was crazy spooky. I'm trying to like push it out of my mind. You know.
Hello, boys and ghouls.
Oh no!
Wow. Okay.
Oh no. So yes, the green screen.
New every day.
I put the green screen up and played around with that, and so yeah. But you know, that's what mostly my focus has been, in watching the new TV shows here and there. You know, new seasons and
right.
stuff. But mostly getting this PC thing ready, and hopefully not like I've been telling these people, you know, followers and other people, like, yeah, I'm building this new setup, and hopefully when it actually gets going, people aren't like, that's it, like. You know, have that fear, you know.
Well, that's what it starts, and then you start building from there and make it more awesome as you
exactly.
go forward.
That's the idea. Hopefully, mm-hmm. they understand
execution.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. You need one of those classic animated GIFs of the "Pardon my dust." Thing.
Oh, the little digging, the little digging,
the little stick
on
figure,
the,
and like on the, tossing on the, dirt the over his shoulder.
That would be awesome.
So, how about yourselves? What have you been up to since last we spoke on the radio waves?
Well, you mentioned the catching up on the new television shows, and I've been doing a little bit of that.
Oh, okay.
I caught up on the iZombies this last yesterday. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know why that show fits with me so well. There's a lot of stuff that ends up being kind of like predictable just because she has to inherit the characteristics of whoever's brain she ate. And
yeah,
some of that stuff brains gets a little bit old, but it's still like just enough fun for me that I end up thoroughly enjoying it. So that's always something for me to look forward to. I just started the Flash episodes this afternoon, so I still have to catch up on them.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't gotten to what's been acknowledged widely as the good one. So I
as in the fastest man alive, the Flash, correct? Or
yes.
Okay, just making sure that is time to remember.
Yeah.
The new like CW the new show.
Yeah, the new TV series. Ah. Yeah, in season two, in the second episode, I guess, everybody's talking like it was really something because it has like callbacks to old comics and so on. Hmm. But yeah, haven't caught that one yet. But yeah, other than that, it's been the usual suspects.
Play any more
of the Destiny?
I have been, but it's funny. I've mostly been checking in just long enough to fill out all of the different gun quests, I guess, that the gunsmith has been sending me on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been enjoying that pretty thoroughly, but it hasn't been a full-time thing in the last little while. I've been not spending anywhere near as much time on Destiny, although it's still probably been sizable.
A reduction of a large thing is still a large thing.
Right, yeah. And other than that, I've still been doing unless, I don't know if you've mentioned this lately, but we do kind of Friday and Sunday night fight night type thing with a couple of different fighting video games that I've still been enjoying quite a bit too. Like, it's funny, Mortal Kombat X has kind of filled the same slot as iZombie for me. It's like you kind of expect the same old stuff every time, and especially if you're not a deeply skilled player like I am definitely not.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just really satisfying seeing people pull off all of this crazy stuff and the really well-designed levels and everything. So always look forward to that.
Very cool.
Yeah, seeing those pro players like that sometimes pop in because it's our buddy Kane who does the fighting streams on those nights and stuff.
And he ends up attracting some pretty expert players every once in a while.
Yeah.
Very cool. By the way, your Twitch handle, when you go back live, what's your Twitch handle again?
Oh, it's DjangoFett25.
Very cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. See, what have I been up to? Astonishingly little, but last night, my wife finished playing Alien Isolation.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's quite the ending.
Fitting month.
Yes, yes.
For that game.
Yeah, we traditionally crack out our spookiest games for October, which means that I jumped back into Dead Space 3.
I saw that, yeah.
After like putting it down when the Xbox One dropped and forgetting that I had put it down, I'm like, oh no, I need to pick that up again. Oh, it's October. Fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This works. Good excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've always been impressed with how that game like pulls its graphics together, and this one was this one's really good. I know it's like at the tail end of the 360 lifespan, but it shows like at this point they've like figured out what they can and cannot do and how to exploit that hardware to its fullest. And I'm like, this is very nice.
Yeah. They were doing some crazy stuff at the end of that life cycle.
Mm-hmm. Makes me curious if they ever make a Dead Space for the Xbox One, what that would be like.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember their rumblings of them, you know, wanting to still go back to that series, but
yeah.
I think a lot of them have their hands filled with Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which I'm also looking forward to. I'm not yet knowing how the game ends. I wouldn't mind if they started up a new storyline that doesn't involve Isaac.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be not a bad way to go. Kind of do like the Mass Effect thing. Like, the story is over. We are now starting new character, new arc around the same universe kind of thing.
So. Yeah, I think it would be kind of neat to have, since the first one ends up having its kind of final moments at this, at a mining colony someplace, and it's probably not a big spoiler or anything.
Wait, like having, there's a mining colony in these games about miners?
Crazy, right?
I don't believe it.
But
you're lying.
If you can have something that started out from that point and have a character that managed to escape all of that stuff and is trying to kind of follow it from its origins instead of kind of the periphery of it, I think it might make a pretty interesting storyline.
Yeah.
But we'll see if that ever happens.
Yes.
Oh, and actually, you mentioned, too, about the, well, the Star Wars stuff. Especially right now, they're coming out with so many, like, crazy commercials for Star Wars things. I thought one that deserved note was the one for the new Battlefront game. Have you guys seen that commercial at all?
No, I haven't.
No.
It's pretty good, just because it plays on everything that would totally take advantage of people our age, like growing up with the toys and everything like
that.
Oh,
okay.
Nice. Because it's supposed to be at, like, a couple of friends, like, hanging out, like, playing with the figures when they're, like, little tiny kids. And it's, like, this guy sitting at his office desk, like, looking at his old, like, half-destroyed R2-D2 toy.
Oh, okay.
And kind of going back to the old days, like, oh, I remember when I used to play with my friend this, and goes through the entire thing, like, making go-karts of X-Wings and TIE Fighters, and they're, like, pretending like they're dogfighting each other and everything. And then finally, it's him in this high-rise building, like, looking sadly into his, like, real office world, and you hear the sound of, like, an aircraft rumbling underneath him, and you slowly see an X-Wing, like, rise up in front of him. And it's his friend all decked out in all of the X-Wing garb and everything like that. And he's like, come on! And another X-Wing pops up, and it's R2, like, flying in.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, it just a bunch of really good commercials have been coming out for that. I know it's weird to be acknowledging commercials, but yeah, as long as they're enjoyable, that's
yeah.
Half the
when they
fun,
do it
right?
Well, it's own form of entertainment.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people have been complaining about that one. It's like, you're taking advantage of our childhood. And it's like, yeah, but it's kind of fun.
But Andrew pointed, this is a commercial. It's inherently exploitive. That is its nature.
Yeah.
But still, that's funny.
Try telling me you didn't get a little tear in your eye when R2, like, came rising over the horizon. And I'm like, beep, 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 beep.
Like, yes, of course.
I dare you.
Well, speaking of commercials and not commercials, because we don't have commercials on KSU.
No.
But we have PSAs.
Mm-hmm. Passaws.
Yes.
How passaw.
As Jason so eloquently puts them. Well, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip:
find us faster by searching for KSCU. Those call letters are unique to us on the globe.
And something worth noting, if you do go to the TuneIn, like you know, website, you're on your computer, you're searching out there, and you go to KSCU and you're scrolling down to shows, like all the shows and everything like that,
right?
You'll see ours. If you click on it, for some reason it says, like, our really old time when we were on Thursdays at 7. So disregard that.
Yeah.
We're on Mondays.
Mondays.
We're not changing soon that we know of.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But yeah, but anyway, you can find us on there and yeah. So, all right, cool. Sounds like we all got a little had a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And speaking of things that are fun.
Yes.
And allow the audience to participate.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a music break, but afterwards we'll come back and talk about our watch party, our brand new watch party.
Woo! Sweet.
That Caleb has selected.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about the first two episodes of the anime Dirty Pair.
Yes.
And your assignment from before was to watch the first and second episodes so you can participate on it, because during the watch party discussions, we spoil the hell out of them.
Yes.
So,
it is an old hold bards discussion.
That's right.
If you're in the future and listening to this via some other form, skip ahead if you haven't watched them, or just keep going and enjoy.
Yeah.
We don't care if you're accustomed to holding your bard. There's none of that.
Nope. You can always still participate, even if you're like, I haven't watched the first and second yet. It's all right. Especially so far with these two first episodes, it's pretty easy to jump back in, but we'll get to more of that later. But
yes.
We will take a music break since we've, been talking for half an hour. Give the audience a chance to absorb everything that we've discussed.
We have to rest our voices,
it's
too.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for them to, do their assignment.
Yes.
Keep an eye on the new
I
trailer
will do so.
if it's been dropped yet. I don't know when they're supposed to do it during the football game, but that's your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know.
Let us know what you think at robotsattackme on twitter.com and facebook.com/robotsattackshow.
That's right. All right, we'll take a music break and then we'll come back and discuss the watch party.
Woo! Music.
San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their story with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
All right, and welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara. We are now in Watch Party. I'm going to turn it over to Caleb, since this was his choice for the Watch Party.
Yes, and I do admit that I sort of quote-unquote broke some of the rules by picking a classic, but at the same time, I feel like you can't...
Okay.
None of the stuff that happens nowadays comes out of a vacuum, and knowing a little bit of where things come from can give you insight into what's happening now.
That's true.
That said...
Very true. Nice save.
Thank you. That said, we're picking up the classic TV animated series Dirty Pair, which premiered in Japan in 1985.
Wow.
Yes.
It's and way less dirty than you might expect.
Yeah.
Yes. Just to put this out there to clarify, the team of Yuri and Kay is actually, their actual team name is the Lovely Angels. They got the colloquialism Dirty Pair because they have a penchant for leaving a trail of destruction in their wake as they solve the cases that they go out on.
Which kind of gets established in this first episode.
Yes.
Which
is called We Will Show You How to Kill a Computer.
So let's get into episode one.
Yes. So, fellas, first we'll start with first impressions.
I enjoyed a lot of the design stuff. I haven't seen something kind of set in that style in a long time. Mm. So having sort of that edge of the 80s, but still very founded in the 70s design is really kind of cool. Like, most of the costuming is very 70s.
Yeah.
Yes.
But all of the tech stuff is, like, right on the edge of what we're, like, really familiar with the Sid Mead kind of infected designs that everybody's used to from the early 80s.
It's
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny seeing, like, I forget, which one's the one that looks like Lin-Min-May?
That'd be K.
K, okay. I was like, wow, looks like Lin-Min-May. From Robotech. It's like, I guess I'm not surprised that's popular around that same time.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
That particular character design got reused pretty often with the smashing success that was the Macross series.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think both characters were kind of in different sections of that series.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's true.
Yeah, the other character didn't pop out to me in any familiarity as far as
I want
to
say she
else,
was
but...
one of like the motorcycle mech pilots later on in the series or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway.
I mean, also, we don't mean like literally the character, same character.
Right.
Yeah. But just, like,
just the design.
The design, yeah.
The design cues.
Just not to confuse people out there. Like, well, wait. Oh, so these are characters from Macross? Or, no.
We apologize.
Yeah.
That's not what we meant.
Yeah. Around that time, like especially Rumiko Takahashi's breakthrough or smashing success series, Rama 1/2, was also very popular, and you'll see echoes of some of that design aesthetic in a lot of this as well.
Makes sense.
Okay, yeah. I think my favorite line in the two episodes so far,
mm-hmm.
it was in this first one where there was when they like announce who they are, they disrobe. And like reveal their, you know,
like
their work uniforms.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, yes, we're the lovely angels. And then, the one guy was like, why are there female wrestlers here?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty perfect. And it was so unexpected.
It was perfect. I wasn't expecting them to actually kind of poke fun at their outfits. Mm-hmm. Like, we just would have figured like, oh, this is just, you know.
Yeah.
It totally fits, like this is just kind of how they would have them all dressed, but they actually kind of like poke fun at it, like,
yeah
that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was astonishingly self-aware of what it was at the time, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that's a very modern comedic style.
Yeah.
And to kind of give where the story starts in the starry storts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The storts.
They kind of throw you in, just assume that you are kind of familiar with the characters or don't even really care.
It's so episodic, I don't know if it really matters.
Right. But the first story is basically that for unknown reasons, at least at the beginning, this supercomputer that controls a massive colony, like high-rise, crazy city thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of like like the beginning of the episode opens up with like a voiceover explaining like this takes place, you know, in the future.
The far future of 2138.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, space tech now, they can travel and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. humans have expanded onto other locations and the
computers.
That Jason was talking about. It's like if you kind of imagine like if you take Dread, like the movie Dread, mm-hmm. those giant buildings that all people were living in, like imagine those, but like run by like a supercomputer, like AI mm-hmm. or something, you know,
and not a lot less run down. It's a very more. It's like if you take some of those with like the Star Trek ideals, where it's like humans expanding out.
More of just like the idea of all these people living like
in a single
structure.
I forget what they call them. They had a name for them in like the SimCity series.
Yeah.
Arcologies.
Okay, yeah.
It's sort of like that. It's a giant shopping mall in the sky, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, one-stop shop for humanity to live and breed.
And this particular one is, the computer's run, was Brian, right?
Right,
was
yeah.
the name
yes.
of the computer.
Yeah, which at first I was like, oh, they called it Brain. Oh, wait, no?
No. Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait, was there something translation mess up here? Like,
right.
Oh, Brian, yeah. I guess.
My mind went straight to Pinky and the Brain. Well, if they changed the I and the A in your name, you'd be Brian instead of Brain.
Right. I like the idea of that somebody just wrote the wrong thing on the cage.
But also possible.
speaking of mice, though, on the sort of flip side, they have like some weird alien cat pet or something that never really got explained. It was just like they have this creature.
It's kind of awesome, but because it's not explained.
It's like a bear cat kind of.
Yeah,
like
it's like something out of like the last Airbender Avatar, like mashup animal.
Yeah. And then a little robot like companion that does stuff
with
for
like
him
high tops.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the way it all kind of starts out is that they have to figure out how to knock this computer out because it has decided to run amok and kind of
kill all the people living in it.
Right.
And it's like, I don't like it. You know, it's all like, oh, I don't, you're trying to kill me or and I, you
right.
you're trying to control
are,
me.
Yeah. So it's trying to take out all the humans and then. So then it's up to the two lovely angels.
Yes,
right. Team or
yeah,
and then
yeah, because they are part of the World Welfare Works Association, or the 3WA, which is kind of the, they're not necessarily the police, but they're kind of like the investigative human arm of the world, the galactic government.
Yeah,
it's like the kind of like the special task force sent out to deal with unusual circumstances, sort of things.
Yeah. The like you said, the easiest way is like some sort of detective agency kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's like imagine Charlie's Angels, but if they were a public resource as opposed to a private investigation team.
And so basically, what that translates to is that they have some money and some technology behind them, even though they're just a couple of people. So they have a big ship, and they have like a few smaller, like runabout type ships that park in the big ship.
Yeah.
Along with the robot and the Bearcat.
Because we learn more about that kind of stuff in the second episode.
Yeah. This is true.
Like this first episode mostly just focuses on them. Mm-hmm. You get kind of like a taste of their camaraderie and their personality and stuff like that. And
them trying to get at the heart of this computer also.
Yeah.
And the computer like constantly like flicking them away like angry gnats or something like that.
Actually, it leads me to one of my favorite lines from the first episode where it was... Because there's a point where they attempt to shoot a laser down into the core of the computer.
Oh yeah.
And the machine drops a mirror and reflects it back, and it like cuts a huge portion of the tower, and it drops it at an odd angle.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of their superiors, like assistants, is looking at the pictures like, it's actually at a rather lovely angle. The boss is like, stop it. That's not the point.
Yeah. I know when that happened and it was starting to kind of get more and more damaged. Like, man, you're like killing yourself. Like I know you're trying to get rid of all these humans, but you're kind of like destroying yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. The kind of cool thing about how they handled that scene too was that you see the inner workings of the building like shifting around, and you're trying to figure out what the heck is it trying to do, and then like at the last minute you see kind of this shiny surface pop up in front of the core of the computer, and so it ends up perfectly timed for the laser strike to come and hit and reflect off and do all of the crazy like outside shots of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I do respect on the series is that they know how to set up that type of thing to make it more interesting instead of like, oh, well, we just failed.
Yeah.
Instead, it was like a holding your breath type of moment. It's like, oh, okay, I think they might actually take this thing out right here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And the ultimate sort of coming up with the plan to like distract the robot so that they use like the warp technology to warp in like a junk ship.
A garbage trawler effectively.
And it's funny, it's become at this point kind of a throwaway plot idea for a lot of different sci-fi type stuff. So it does make me wonder like how far, if this is one of those kind of origin things for that sort of plot device. Like once they figured out that, oh, well, we have things that can just instantly warp from one place to another.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things kind of used that mechanism for solving problems. But this is one of the earliest ones that I can think of. So it does make me wonder if this is one of those that everybody was like, type of thing.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I wonder what other stuff has been inspired from this show, having not been like, I've not watched the series. I'm not, super familiar with it. Just knowing like, okay, kind of recognize the name and some of the character
designs
and stuff like that. But so, what are your thoughts on, the two leads? Do you think their personalities like will be, get annoying if the, or be are they a good contrast with each other, or
honestly,
too similar?
Neither
or?
Of them have really grown on me at this point. Mm. The one that I probably like the best out of the two is kind of the woman of action one, with the little laser pistol. Mm. I think she's pretty cool. The orange hair.
Okay, orange.
Yeah.
Right.
What's her?
She should be that should be Yuri.
Yuri, okay.
Okay.
Probably get their names by like the time we're all done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of these shows, like, it takes a while, at least for me personally, like, to get.
Yeah. In many ways we are the worst like anime fans ever.
Yeah.
We really are, we swear.
Yeah, unless
we do love this stuff.
Unless it's like a super easy name or just beaten into you.
Right.
Like Naruto. Like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
I know that character's name.
Got it's it.
Beaten into you. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
You said it 13 times in the last 10 minutes.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. And I have it backwards. Oh. Yuri is the long hair, long dark hair.
Okay.
K has the bright orange.
Okay. So Yuri is Minmay.
I thought that sounded.
And what?
It sounded off. I didn't want to say anything.
No, that's fine. I have the power of the internet and at my fingertips.
Yes.
Right.
So Yuri and what?
K.
K. Okay. K is the orange.
K right. is the red okay. hair. Yes.
Okay. So try and remember
K
that.
And Minmay, and then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
K. Every kiss begins with K. Kiss with red lips. Red. Maybe
yeah, something like that.
Something. I'll try. Yeah. I'll try.
Okay.
I'm trying my best.
Oh, I probably actually will remember that. Thank you.
I try.
All right. So, move on to episode 2, or do you have anything
yes.
else to say about?
Well, okay. What? I mean, because my question was directed to. All of us.
All of us. It's funny, like, when I remember watching the show the first time, like, it was like when you could only get this stuff from, like, Hollywood Video, and the people that bought them, like, just didn't care that there was, like, episodes that was, like, a series, so that you, like, tape 2 and tape 8.
Mm.
And never the two shall meet between.
Yeah.
So it's like, but anyway, yeah, I've always enjoyed this series, like, because I grew up a lot with a lot of Robotech and Macross, and Ranma is kind of like my historical background. So like this one, like, sort of like is in the my back of my mind is like, I remember this show, and like it's a lot more ridiculous than I remember it being, but at the same time, it's still like it's just so ridiculous that it goes around the circle and becomes like super fun. So I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be curious to see where they go with them. Because, like mm-hmm. you said, I mean, it's only the first 2 episodes, so...
Yeah.
It's you know.
Still early to say.
Yeah, it's not a hit on the show at all. It's... Yeah. I enjoy... like I said, I really enjoy the look of it probably the most.
It has a lot of style.
Yeah, the spaceship that they have, which at this point is probably a little bit politically incorrect, but of course it's like giant and pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the funny thing to me is that it's to me sort of obviously shaped like a toilet seat. But it has stuff sticking off of it that make it look like a very cool aerodynamic toilet seat. And it has the sort of offset cockpit to give sort of the feel of like the Millennium Falcon or something like
okay,
that.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty neat to see, especially when the little a robot in high tops is is piloting the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bizarre little arrangements.
Yeah,
did you have any feelings about Kay and?
I'm kind of in the same boat with Jason. Like I'm not. I'll be curious to see what they do with them. They're not like annoying or anything like that. So that's good. But I'll be curious just to see kind of they have sort of this kind of playful. Competition mm-hmm. with each other, like who's the better agent sometimes,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And they both kind of have their moments.
Yeah, K is definitely more the gunfighter type and Yuri, right? Yuri mm-hmm. is kind of the martial arts expert from what we can tell so far.
Yeah. And I, this might, well, part of this might have been in the second episode, but they both had sort of their moment of like a guy like coming up to them or engaging and like, mm-hmm. oh, hey, how's it going? Like, oh, do you need some help? So they, you know, it wasn't just all like focus on one or the other. Like mm-hmm. each kind of got, had like the, that same little moment. So
right.
mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious if that's something that's going to happen like in each episode, something sort of like that. Cause it, I think it happened in the first and second yeah. episode. So I'll just yeah. see if that's a little recurring like thing gag. They do. Yeah. yeah. But yeah, we can move on to the second episode if you like. I can't think
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. What was the name of the second episode?
Second episode is yeah. Do the Lovely Angels Like Chest Hairs?
Yeah. Okay. So that was the weirdest thing. Like, what the heck? It came out like, okay. What?
I don't know why, but that was probably the most endearing thing to me for the series so far.
The ending?
The K character just going off on through the entire second episode, like, oh, well, I already don't like him, so he must have chest hair. It's just, it's the way it works.
The foregone conclusion.
Right. It's just how you know things.
Now, the character he's speaking of that has the assumed chest hair is a new operative that is brought in to assist them on a case.
Yeah.
Because right. they're investigating a series of space liner explosions.
Yeah, like a new company is gonna show off their new like space liner and
yeah.
some other company or something. It's like corporate espionage yes. kind of thing, like they mm-hmm. no, we must stop their launch so mm-hmm. it doesn't affect our blah 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 or something.
So. Yeah, so we'll need to discredit this other mega corporation so our mega corporation can be a more mega corporation.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's mm-hmm. the future. Yeah. Space yeah. and stuff.
Sony versus Xbox.
Seekson versus Weyland Yutani.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Or go back far enough, probably just Weyland versus Yutani.
Yeah, too. Yep.
But bringing it back to so there's like, and this is where you can kind of see even like elements of like Lupin the Third coming in a little bit, because some of the
that's true
the antagonist special agents like have like aspects of like that 60s ancient spot, like the you know that the bad guys because they're wearing dark suits and sunglasses indoors and yeah. stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
And like and just and their like design aesthetic and the motion is he feel a little bit Lupin-esque, which was kind of right. cool.
Which they purposely, of course, make like the new character like, oh well, is he really a good guy or not?
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the chest hair question, it's of course at the center of this all. but yeah, the way they designed the character has like sort of that halfway element of some of these more cagey characters. I'm glad you mentioned like the Lupin the Third thing, because definitely picks up a lot of design cues from that and on how to make these characters like, oh, I don't know if I should trust him type mm-hmm. of character. So.
Oh, and if you are just tuning in here on KACU Santa Clara, we are talking about Dirty Pair. We're on to the second episode. We're in the watch party.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So,
but yeah, I would say too with this one, what I kind of liked about this one too is like, even though, but this is where you find out more about is it the 3M or
3WA.
3WA.
Right.
Like you find it's out more Scott, about.
It's the tape company once they've added more letters and so on.
You find out more about where.
The agency.
Yeah, Yuri and Kay actually work a little bit more about mm-hmm. them and like
right.
more of why kind of they're called the Dirty Pair kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, they get put on assignment with Grave, right?
Yes.
The game.
Nova Grave.
And, right. Not a name that you have to worry about at all, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. it was kind of nice, like, even though they put, like, him in charge, he's, like, they still... Well, it was a little weird. It was, like, they got assigned because, like, they put it into a computer, and the computer said these two were the best.
Yes.
And then, yeah. So then they put him with the grave guy, and then, but I, it was still nice, like, to see, even though they, you know, had their sort of little kind of arguments and stuff, like, he was still, like, using them, you know, efficiently, and they were still, like, working. Like, it wasn't just, like, okay, you know, I'm in charge, you can't do anything, you know, go stay over there, or go do that, like it.
Yeah. 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 He actually played to their strengths. Like, he sent Kay out to do spacewalk reconnaissance on the exterior of the ship looking for people. And Yuri was like working the crowds, as it were.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the spacewalk ends up becoming a pretty good excuse for some laser gun action.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
And the little robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little high. That's where you see the high tops for the first time is in this, in the second episode. Because it was just like floating around in the ship before. Mm. It has like some sort of anti-gravity that it was doing everything in the ship in the first episode. And then the second episode, it actually has to interact with the environment. So it sprouts these little high top shoes, which are very funny to me.
They're pretty hilarious.
But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the computer thing too, because I sort of like that this series has that as a recurring theme, that humanity, because who knows why, but maybe because of its size and it being spread all over the place or whatever, it's been relegated to kind of a middle management role.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the computers rule everything. They figure out everything for everybody and control everything from the top down. Mm-hmm. And it also creates this other thing that's kind of interesting, is that apparently the computers monitor themselves sort of in a way, because apparently the computers decided that these guys needed to be sent and to investigate this other computer. So I wonder if that's going to be a theme also, that different computers don't necessarily trust each other.
When AI goes paranoid.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I do wonder if there is going to be any sort of overarching plot, or if it's just going to be all completely just separate episodes. Cause
so far, the computer thing is the only thing that's like the little tidbit that you can kind of connect the episodes, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some of the promotional material art, there is a prominent third figure with pale blue hair that I haven't found a reasonable explanation for. It doesn't look like it's part of, and looks like it might be a antagonist character. That so
yeah, well, it's just something we'll have to wait to see, because most stuff now there's usually some sort of overarching plot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially the older ones, they took a lot more time to kind of spin up to any sort of storyline, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that we have to kind of get used to again is just because kind of the mindset for a lot of these things has shifted so heavily towards a really coherent story that connects everything together in anime that maybe has slightly more episodic themes between each episode. This is like very episodic so far. There's going to be a little bit of an acclimation period for us.
Yeah, it's a little. It got a little bit of the Farscape syndrome, where it's like, what episode is it? Doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still the end of this episode was still weird. Okay, it was just odd because it was like, so you said 85. Mm-hmm. The show earlier, it's like hair and all that sort of stuff was still in, like, so it's, I mean, I know it's the future, but it was just weird. It was like, well, what the, the most random thing to kind of start and end on. Like,
I don't know why I had such a good time with that.
Well, I enjoy the fact that, like, games when they were like, the show does not take itself at all seriously. Like, it has interesting elements, actually kind of thoughtful elements every now and then, but like the show is not ever intended to be super thought provoking.
Yeah. Yeah. Not so far anyway.
Not so far. Yeah.
But maybe in future episodes. And speaking of future episodes, so mm-hmm. we've watched the first two.
Yes.
So this is 24 episodes.
Yes. It's a standard 24 seasons episode season.
Do we want to start doing three episodes or do we want to stick with two?
I think three is probably a wise choice.
Okay, so you want to do three for next week?
We'll try three next week and see how we feel. We can always adjust again as need be.
Okay, because they go by pretty fast and there's not a whole lot to them. So as long as we kind of don't blabble on too much, we can probably get through
them pretty quickly.
Yeah, this one, you know, probably talked a little bit more just because it's kind of...
the foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the next homework assignment for the watch party will be episode 3, 4...
and five.
So
we'll be watching Fall in Love Involuntarily, Love is Russian Roulette, and Pursuit has the smell of cheesecake and death.
Okay.
And then the heartbeat of Cardios.
Oh, that was one. Okay.
Those are three different episode titles.
Nice.
All right. Well, yes, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Please participate on the watch party with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you missed the first two, you can still catch up. We're still early on in it. So,
yes.
So yeah, let us know what you thought of the episodes. Are you excited to watch more? Let us know.
Are you enjoying rollicking through a little bit of anime history? See what it was like in its earlier days.
Yes.
Who's your favorite character?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Who's your favorite character so far?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, let us take a quick music break and then we'll come back with some new releases and the news.
Yay.
All right. You know, we'll play the music and then we'll do the PSA because we've got a few minutes.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Attention, KSU listeners. Get ready to be spooked and creeped out on Friday, October 23rd from 9 p.m. until the witching hour. Legendary former KSU DJs Casper and Another Planet, Another Ghoul will be exhumed for the 7th annual Halloween Spook Fest. They will dig up an assortment of decomposed sounds and unleash the screams of trapped souls falling into the abyss of commercial music industry. Very disturbing indeed. To ensure that you do not have an eternity of regret, mark your calendars in blood now for Friday, October 23rd, from 9 p.m. till midnight. For KSU's 7th annual Halloween Spookfest, or you will be... sorry. The embalmed entity of KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM and the KSU.org is the underground sound. One which will live. You can live to tell about. Maybe.
Ooh, spooky. Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are going to talk about some new releases.
Hooray!
Speaking of new releases, I'm going to start us off with some movies in the theater. We've got Jim and the Holograms.
Oh.
As a small town girl catapults from underground video sensation to global superstar, she and her three sisters become a one in a million journey of discovering that some talents are too special to keep hidden.
With or without hard light holograms?
No idea.
Oh.
Moving on is The Last Witch Hunter. The modern world holds many secrets, but the most astounding secret of all is that witches still live amongst us. Vicious supernatural creatures intend on unleashing the Black Death upon the world. Armies of witch hunters battle in the unnatural enemy across the globe for centuries, including Calder, played by Vin Diesel, a valiant warrior who managed to slay the all-powerful Queen Witch, decimating her followers in the process. In the moments right before her death, the Queen curses Calder with her own immortality, forever separating him from his beloved wife and daughter in the afterlife. Then we have Bone Tomahawk. Four men set out in the Wild West to rescue a group of captives from cannibalistic cave dwellers. I mentioned this one because, you know, it kind of fits the Halloween thing, and it stars Kurt Russell.
Oh.
We also have Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. All right. get a load of this synopsis.
Yeah.
The Paranormal Activity saga comes to an end. Moving on, we have Rock the Casbah. Has been rock manager Ricky Lands, played by Bill Murray, dumped and stranded in war-torn Kabul by his last remaining client, discovers Salima Khan, a Pashtun teenager with a beautiful voice and the courageous dream of becoming the first woman to compete on national television, Afghanistan's version of American Idol.
Well, there you are then. Now, if you like your movies and stuff on the smaller screen, you might be interested in owning the number one movie in the world, according to their posters, Jurassic World. 22 years after the original collapse of Jurassic Park, the location, not the film, the dream is not only resurrected, but it is successful. The theme park has become reality, and the crowds are thick. But to keep the populace happy, new attractions must be made. And so enters the misappropriation of science. Again. Did no one listen to Malcolm? Life finds a way.
No one did.
Well, maybe.
That's a triple nope on that.
Nope. Little duck walking back and forth. Nope. Wolfpack on Blu-ray and DVD. A family is never quite normal. But for seven sons of the Angulo family, it gets a really odd bend. They lived most of their childhood within the walls of their apartment, kept there by their overprotective parents. This film is a look into a very unusual family dynamic. Changing gears to Z for Zachariah. A Wolfpack is a documentary, just to clarify.
Oh, wow.
Z for Zachariah is also out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's about two strangers that meet in the wake of the apocalypse and nurses John Loomis back to health. While they may not see eye to eye ideologically, they find companionship. But the balance of life shifts when Caleb, not the voice reading this, emerges.
What?
Then there is The Vatican Tapes for our Halloween choice of the week. On Blu-ray and DVD, Angela seems an ordinary girl, but deep within her is an ancient force of darkness. It has fallen to Father Lozano to grapple with this demon and exorcise it for the good of Angela and the world.
Whoa.
And in notable classics coming to Blu-ray and DVD, the Back to the Future trilogy is coming to DVD, Blu-ray.
Timely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Next up, we have video games. Unfortunately, I would like to say that the Back to the Future thing was coming this week also, but that was last week.
Instead, we have
Assassin's Creed Syndicate coming out on the 19th for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Next up, we have Just Dance 2016.
Just Dance!
It's a little bit late in the year, but I guess it's still 20...
It's next year, 2016.
Okay, I see. It's too early then.
Well, it's announced so that it can be in your Christmas stocking or a Christmas present.
Okay, well, whatever. Just
it's like
Dance.
The Maddens and the football ones.
So,
they're always
coming out on October 20th for the PS4. Everybody's just dancing.
We're dancing. You said just dancing.
I am not used to this.
We're dancing.
For the PS4, the Xbox One, the Wii U. And the Wii has not gotten any love for a long time.
Nope.
But apparently they brought it back.
Oh,
specifically for Just Dance 2016.
Oh, man. Just gotta keep dancing
as well as the PS3 and Xbox 360. Wow. Next up, we have Guitar Hero Live, also coming on the 20th for PS4, Xbox One, 360, Wii U, and PS3.
Oh, they're resurrecting all of the Beatmania games.
Pretty much, yeah. This one it definitely has a much different.
Yeah, this one's very
type
different
of
than
feel
previous.
To it. Mm-hmm. Instead of purchasing music at all, it's based on an entire kind of streaming system. So it's going to be really interesting. To
the
see
guitar
how
is totally
like
different.
It.
Oh, interesting.
It's not like colored buttons like Rock Band 4. It's totally different. So
there you are.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who wins in the battle of the band games, I guess. Next up, I believe.
Although
this
I
one,
don't think Guitar Hero Live, I think it is.
Is it just guitar?
It's just guitar.
Yeah, I don't think
at
it,
least so far.
Yeah, I don't think there's drums. I think it's just Guitar Hero. So.
So there you go. If you're in the mood, if you want to be the lead soloist,
I guess
the game for you.
I guess you could still be a band if you're just the one guy. So I'm trying to like.
I don't know
your battle of the band
whether
thing,
it was Guitar Hero 2 that introduced the band stuff. Or
I think
not,
it did.
So
yeah, up until that, like Guitar Hero originally was just like the
just
lead shred.
The guitar, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, having nothing to do with that, but definitely a hero in their own right, we have the name of the game is Life is Strange, Episode 5, Polarized, coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, PS3, and Xbox 360 on the 20th. Next up, and a big deal for all of us, I'm assuming.
Your old pal, Claptrap.
Yeah, the yeah. wrap-up of the series, Tales from Borderlands, Episode 5, The Vault of the Traveler, coming out on 20th for absolutely everything that you can think of, except for Wii, which yeah. we mentioned earlier. Yeah. At least Wii got the Just Dance 2016, but
it's true.
But
it's
yeah.
true.
And I should add in, I'm very excited for the Episode 5 of Life is Strange.
I had a feeling, because yeah. that is... consistently gotten really good scores from just about everybody that's reviewed it, and I've been pretty impressed just from the little bits of streaming that I've seen so far.
And if all goes well, that is one of the games I'll be streaming on the Wednesday. So.
And it's one of the characters that I added to the drawing for you for your streaming stuff.
It's all
also.
Yeah. Full circle, man.
Yeah.
I have to alter one little thing to make sure that character isn't obscured by a little menu thing.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah, it stinks not to go on a little change on that. But like sensors, if you go on like mobile, like that bar thing,
right.
like it's totally different. So you'd never know
exactly.
like that. But if you watch it on, if you go through PC, there's that bar that's down there. And so it blocks. It's like, it's
consistency, people.
Yeah.
You can has it. And what's your Twitch handle again? So when they know to find you later.
Oh, it's DjangoFett25.
Right on.
Thank you.
All right. Switching from video games to comics, which sometimes turn into video games. Never very good ones, unfortunately. Anyways, different issue entirely. We start with DC, Justice League, number 45. On Earth, the Justice League is often viewed as being godlike. Now they find themselves imbued with powers from the New Gods of Haven, and the cost of this power may be the Earth itself.
What?
Unless Mr. What? Miracle and Wonder Woman can stop them.
Oh, my money's on Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Then over at Marvel, it's the Uncanny Inhumans. If that title sounds like a weird mashup, it is. The Uncanny Inhumans number 1, upheaval abounds in the world of the Inhumans. There's a budding relationship between Johnny Storm and Medusa. Black Bolt is doing rogue Black Ops. And the Beast has split from the X-Men and joined the Inhumans.
Because we're kind of getting rid of the mutants. We need to bring the ones we like over to our things. I heard, because, I wish I could be like as knowledgeable about all the new comics that's going on. But I'll listen to some other podcasts that talk about comics and stuff like that. And so I've heard just through them like how... the like Inhumans have kind of pushed the mutants aside, and how even more now that like the who watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I'm current on
that Terrigen Mist or whatever thing. So they did that thing like in the comics
also.
Yeah, that's where they had a whole summer event called Inhuman.
Yeah, and so not only they've created more Inhumans, but like I guess that
it's
mist,
toxic.
Yeah, makes like not only like kills mutants, but also makes them sterile.
It's
so
a double
it's like,
whammy.
Jeez, man, this is just like you guys really are.
They're going for it.
Yeah,
it's so interesting because like the X-Men kept Marvel pretty relevant for a long time.
It's so much like, the movie writings don't... It's really starting to bleed over, I think. I mean, they still have some, like, they're still keeping their Wolverine, like, even though it's a different person, but the name, like, there's certain names I think they're definitely still sticking to because they sell comics, but it is so funny seeing, like, where we grew up, It was
the X-Men.
It was mutants. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Avengers, it was like, I mean, you knew about them, but it was like, it was mutants, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like the total flip.
I mean, there was a time when Wolverine was appearing in 18 separate titles in the same month. It was insane.
That's either a bit much or not enough Wolverine.
Not enough. Like, well, can we put Spider-Man in there? Well, can we put Spider-Man in?
Like, right.
Yeah, but like, that's how powerful the mutant contingent was. The X name like drew the crowds, and now it's like, nope.
Yeah, and it's funny too. Like, I know we're completely getting off a tangent here, but the Shield series, they're even going pretty far as trying to. I feel like appropriate is a little bit too strong of a word, but. As far as the kind of the cachet of the outsider thing that the mutants had and all of the stuff before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, of course, appealed to a lot of teenagers who don't feel like they fit in for whatever reason.
Right.
And so they're totally doing that with the Inhumans also.
Yeah.
Yep. They're really playing that card hard in the current season.
The Inhumans are the New Mutants.
Yeah.
Not the title, The New Mutants, but the...
You're confusing me, man.
To heck with it. Moving on to the next thing after your PSA.
Here's something that's totally easy, not confusing whatsoever. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or... on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip,
find us faster by searching for KSCU.
That's right.
Yeah, nobody likes numbers.
Yeah. And moving back into the the comics list, we go over to Dark Horse with The Steam Man, number one. The Age of the Wild West is a new level of wild.
Ooh.
A group of monster hunters have created the Steam Man, a giant robot built to repel the invading Martian tripods, roving bands of albino apes, and the latest threat, a vampire.
Oh, jeez, a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
That's either way too much or so awesome it hurts.
Yep. Let's see, down over at Image, it's Tokyo Ghost number 2. A pair of constables is given a tall order. Discard all technology from their bodies so they can infiltrate the Garden Nation of Tokyo.
Mm.
And then at IDW, it's Back to the Future, number one.
Hey.
The lead writer of the Back to the Future films returns to the twisting timelines of Doc Brown and Marty McFly. And then at Oni Press, it's Invader Zim, number four. Zim receives a gift from the Almighty Tallest. This is the gift. Then he's given super secret orders. Then new conflicting secret orders and that involve great personal pain. Is Zim on the most dangerous, important mission of his Invader career? Or are the Tallest just really, really bored?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Pops. And our fine friends at Wild Cool have a few recommendations for you to wrap this up real quick. They don't want to freak us out, but they're very excited about Dr. Fate number 5.
Okay.
Which is unusual for them because they normally pick more indie titles. With art by Sonny Liu. In further, we're not kidding news. They have the new Karnak number 1 from Warren Ellis and Company to be awesome.
Okay.
There's a new comic book incarnation of Ed Piskor's Hip Hop Family Tree number 3 is out, and that's a must buy in their opinion. And then it's a double dose from the folks at Bad Machinery with Ghost Days number 7 and Bad Machinery Collective Volume number 4, The Case of the Lonely One.
Nice. Always good to hear from the fine folks at Wow Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll wrap us up quickly with the music. We've got Divers by Joanna Newsom. The fourth full-length release for the singer-songwriter features the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra and arrangements by Nico Muli and David Longstreth. And then we have Central Belters by Mogwai. The three-disc compilation collects hits and rare tracks from the 20-year career of the Scottish post-rock group. All right. I think it's time we enter into...
news.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
Let's news them.
All right. I'm going to continue the trend of Back to the Future.
Whoa.
by mentioning that the...
Say it ain't so, Marty.
The Biff Tannen's Mustang from the Back to the Future Part 2 is available auction right now, I believe. So if you wish... Oh, no, it's a BMW 6 Series modified.
To make it look very...
Very, very cool. So, yeah, it is available according to...
We can't give prices and all that sort of stuff, remember?
Yeah, I'm just saying... Let's just say... It's a car. And it's a prop car, so you're gonna probably not be cheap. But it's still really cool.
Fitting.
Back to the Future and all of that. What else you guys got?
Okay.
Would you get it if you had the money?
I would be tempted, because imagine rolling down the freeway and that you would be so awesome. You'd have to be dragging someone behind you on a hoverboard, though, just to complete the effect.
I would be tempted to try and do one of the new Mustangs to do, or not the newest ones, but the last gen of Mustangs to be like
that. A similar look? Yeah.
But I don't know if they have an appropriately drop-top version of it that would fit well enough.
Mm.
But you could definitely do that massive... Mm-hmm. Air intake on the front.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like an alien head that's been lopped off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, boy, it's the
also in the realm
power.
Of... also in the realm of retro cool brought to the current day, this is an update on one of the previous stories that I had, and that's that Japan is building a Neon Genesis Evangelion bullet train.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah,
it is it's officially made, and there's pictures of it free for everybody to see, and it's reasonably cool, in my humble opinion. They decked out the entire train in the 01 configurations color scheme, so there's a lot of purple with light gray and lime or neon green accents with a bunch of diagonal little lines tracing all over the place. It's pretty cool. The little nerve symbol peppered all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice touches from UI and elements of the show scattered throughout the pictures here. It's pretty cool.
Right. Much like if you're used to an airliner or whatever, it has the different little light screens that can drop down over the windows, and they're all different customized themes also. One is supposed to be an AT field that you fall down.
Nice.
Others are just different characters from the series. There's a car dedicated just to dioramas depicting different scenes from the series that look pretty neat. Entering and exiting the car looks like basically all of the different catwalks and causeways that you'd see in the series for the characters to get to and from the mechs. So yeah, they did every single detail to just completely nail down the theme for this. But probably the coolest thing is one of the cars actually has a little simulator of the interior of the pods, the little injecting things that they'd drop into Eva's spine.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, it's completely done up so you can get in it and feel all of the different controls and everything. And it seems to have some sort of little simulator thing that pops up around you that works pretty neat, because it looks a lot like the different screens that would pop up in kind of fictional space around the pilot when they were using the thing.
Neat.
They really did it up. I want to see the thing really, really bad. Anyway. That's enough Evangelion fanboy from me for now.
It is funny. It's I don't know, would Japan be the only place that would ever actually do something like this? I mean, can you imagine America, building? I mean, I can see, at Disney, they're doing this or, something. But, mm-hmm. Just.
Part of your public transit is one of these. It's like, yeah.
I have a feeling if it was the perfect thing that it might work. And if given enough time, I feel something like Back to the Future might actually wander into that territory of affection in the public heart of America, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, because like Eva was a pretty big like cultural touchstone for the time when it came out.
Yeah.
And yeah. It just seems like the one of the few places that just would actually do that to not like a theme park or something.
Yeah, like, I said, like, you know, like Disneyland is closing down sections of itself to put in Star Wars land. So it's like, but that makes sense. But like,
yeah, because this is the theme park. It's mm-hmm. a business thing. It's like,
not, like Caltrain all of a sudden, like, and now we're gonna be making the Avengers
Caltrain into something that was
Maybe like
historical to American culture or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it is funny because they figured out just enough stuff on it that it's not a complete overhaul of it.
Uh-huh.
That it's. It is a bunch of little touches to the original design of the thing. So they didn't turn the entire thing upside down, but they did it so well that it ends up working really perfectly.
Speaking of doing things perfectly,
just
in case maybe the audience, you know, maybe there's some audience members who are just tuning in now or just to, or, you know, miss the kind of beginning and miss their assignment. I've been told... that the new trailer for Star Wars has been dropped there. So it's out there. So the assignment I mentioned earlier on for the audience was to let us know what they thought of it. Post a link to it on any of our pages, to tweet it at us, or how do they do that, Caleb?
You go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme, or just go to our main website, robotsattack.me. You can email us. You can leave comments on the site, all that good stuff. It's all those places. We have Twitter and Facebook open right now in the background, so you can always check in there or what have you.
Yeah, do all that stuff. Let us know. So that way, when next week comes around, when we've all watched it how many number of times, we'll actually discuss it, and we'd like to, you know, take your feedback and put it in with ours. Be like, oh, you know, this person said this, and oh, they brought up this, and so.
Yes. I have a feeling our geek cred is going to be heavily influenced by how many times we've seen by next week.
It's possible, but
perhaps.
So you mentioned Flight kind of a little bit in your article.
In my train article.
Well, I forget. I remember there was something that I was like, okay, I'm going to spin off of that because my article is about flying.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So how would you like to fly from New York to London in 60 minutes?
Sounds lovely.
No, sir, I would not like
it. You would not? Would you prefer to do it by train?
Eva train?
Yeah.
I might.
Well, if you've ever wondered what it's like to travel at Mach 4.5,
whoa,
Airbus wants you to eventually find out with their new design for what the patent refers to as ultra rapid air vehicle and related method for aerial locomotion.
That's a little bit overdone.
The Concorde 2.0. The new airplane design is considered hypersonic and would be capable of Mach 4.5, blowing the original Concorde plane, you know, out of the...
That blows the SR-71 out of the water, so that's impressive. What I'm anxious to know what sort of tech they managed to pull off to do this.
Well, it's cool this article also has, like, images and pictures and stuff like that. Because one of the things, too, like, especially your previous article... You know, there's a lot of images, and you know, if someone's like driving on the road, they're like, I want to see these things. All those links that Caleb mentioned, we post all of our stories there, so you can go back and read the articles and watch the videos and see all the pictures for yourself at your convenience. But so this traveling at 4.5 times the speed of sound isn't a figure we can quite wrap our heads around, but at those speeds, you can make the trip from New York to London in about an hour. I should say this article I grabbed from Nerdist.com. That's a trip that currently takes around 8 hours. And when the original Concorde was in service, took about 3.5, to put it another way. A flight that currently takes more than half a season of Doctor Who will soon only be about an episode and a half, gate to gate.
Oh, man.
There you go.
That's putting it in a European perspective.
Yeah. The design of this plane is drastically different than anything in use these days, especially commercially, and actually looks and operates more like a real-life rocket ship.
Okay. I
will kind
I
of
a feeling that's
show
how
you
doing it.
their little kind of.
Okay, yeah.
See?
There you go.
Orbital vaulting is what they're.
In order to avoid the same issue that Concorde originally had, which ultimately led to it being decommissioned in 2003 due to high operating costs and being banned from flying at high speeds over land, the Concorde 2.0 will avoid mucking up the civilized world with ear-shattering sonic booms with a flight plan that really does resemble that of a space shuttle. Soon after takeoff, the craft would climb at a near vertical angle with the assistance of a rear rocket into the upper atmosphere. In doing so, breaking the sound barrier would be dissipated horizontally, meaning the sound created by the craft would never quite reach the ground at any disturbing levels. Once at altitude, ramjets would take over, propelling the plane at speeds of Mach 4.5, high enough where it can be just about as loud as it wants to be. The best part, hammock seats. In order to transition for all the horizontal and vertical changes a flight like this would entail, the patent describes, say it with me, folks, hammock-like seats for passengers.
Passengers. Seats.
Yes, hammocks.
That's kind of awesome.
So there you go, Jason. You might be able to fly from New York to London in an hour.
That sounds pretty nifty.
With the Concorde 2.0.
I'm looking forward to it.
I
will not lie.
You know something else you should look forward to as well?
No.
Like, you don't need to wait for the future. You could actually do it right now.
What's that?
The PSA.
It's going to be awesome.
As
I'm on the edge of my
seat.
The
paper stops ruffling.
Yeah. It's super easy. It's San Jose Animal Advocates, or an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer. You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit, is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. And you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
All right. Well, I'm going to branch off of your story of flight.
Okay.
Into even more flight and flight beyond our planet.
Wow. You mean space?
I mean space. Space. I like space because you couldn't tell. Anyways, NASA has greenlit 5 possible new space flight missions for 2020. The NASA's, as you know,
the
is
TV the, show 2020.
No, no, it's you don't. There's no slash. It's the year 2020. In the year 2000.
In 20.
Yeah. They have greenlit 5 new new missions that go beyond our planet. One of them is the Near Earth Object Camera. Now, this one's not completely outside of our gravitational well, but it's still 10. It's still far enough up that it's designed to look back at Earth and actually understand. Get a real good look at the things around us.
Okay.
They're looking at trying to just look for the near Earth objects, such as Jupiter's Trojan asteroids and other things in the solar system. Just kind of understanding more
they're
about what's going
branded,
on.
Huh?
Then there's Lucy, which is. Yeah, looking into the history of our solar system, looking into the past by studying the nature of the solar system as it is now, and then running the time machine backwards, as it were, in terms of like studying the elements and where they might have come from and stuff like that.
You know how to do the sound of time machine running backwards, right? That's not bad.
There's also the Psyche project, which plans to investigate small space rocks, intending to go into the mineral-rich asteroid field to possibly do some scouting for mining and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then there's a couple. There's one. There's two based around Venus and understanding more about its chemistry and and investigating the analyzing their its atmosphere of noble gases. So there you go. That's going to be Da Vinci and Veritas.
Which one are you most excited about?
I'm actually kind of interested in the asteroid belt one, because the asteroid belt is something that we know exists, but everything, nothing's really spent a lot of time like analyzing what's in the belt, like what is it made out of, where did it come from, what can it tell us about the history of our solar system, because they're kind of like crystal, they're like fossils of our solar system, you know, they haven't really been touched by us or by other objects that we can or species that we know of.
Touch it.
Yeah, caress it.
Oh.
Tell it what you really think of it and stuff like that. Needless to say, like this kind of stuff is super exciting to me, because it's the more we understand about where we are in the universe, the better we can get beyond our solar system, but also like find out where we came from. What does it all mean?
And exploit it.
Well, that, I'm sure that will happen at some point, since we are human after all.
Okay. Further information from the realm of exploits. yes, we have the story about Elon Musk and his fear of Chinese clones.
Huh?
It's true. It's sort of like the AI thing.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's a big deal to him.
It's special and unique?
No, not so much, because the clones thing.
Oh, right.
But yeah.
Right.
So it's actually a genuine fear for Elon Musk right now, because he has a very successful car that has done very well and is widely accepted as one of the best of its kind as far as an electric, really powerful, really desirable vehicle. Unfortunately, that also means that a lot of people are trying to make copies. And in the realm of China, where copies are not considered anything that's diminished at all, but something that you actually have the right to try and do.
Mm-hmm.
China actually has 3 separate clones the Model X going at this point. Yeah. I'm actually really interested to see how they turn out, not just because I would be interested in getting my hands on one of those cars for a lot less money, but also because each of the different clones that are coming up, albeit in a few years, each one of them, because it takes time to actually develop the stuff, they have pretty unique backstories, because they're coming from a wide variety of different companies and people that you can kind of see as sort of, I don't know, like the different company moguls that we're used to hearing about all the time. You can kind of see how China has their own versions of them that we never really get to hear about all that much.
Right, yeah.
It's really interesting hearing about people from over there that have kind of filled that slot also. The first of which is from a company that's framing itself as Le Car.
Ah, Le Car.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you driven the Le Car lately?
I don't think it's supposed to be
Le Car,
a French-influenced type of thing. It apparently is a spinoff of a company along the lines of Netflix. There's a very popular service in China that... let me see if I can find...
El Car.
Well, it's Le TV.
Ah, Le TV.
Right. Again, like I said, I'm not sure it's supposed to be working on a French thing, but apparently it's so popular and it's done so well that the company is trying to diversify and is actually making a knockoff of the Model S.
Huh.
As well as, looks like a popular designer of some sort, is filling the next role, and he's been likened to kind of a Tony Stark type. Let's see, what was the final one? And then finally we have one that's very openly framing itself even though it's trying to make itself look, again, almost exactly like the Model S, as the Knight Rider. Apparently, nice. The name of the car literally translates to Knight Rider. Knight Rider.
Does it play that sweet, awesome theme song whenever you open the doors?
Oh, I hope so.
Now, is it Knight N or Knight with a K?
With a K.
Okay.
Yeah.
The proper spelling, as we all know.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so...
The proper lay spelling.
Yes. Right. All of the different cars, of course, have massively different specs from the original car, but that's not necessarily as far as them being inferior in a lot of ways. Some of them actually have improved range. Some of them actually have higher top speeds, just as far as the way they're spec'd out at this moment. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see these cars when they come out, even though they're all going to look exactly the same.
Yeah, I'll be with the imitation of the most sincere form of flattery or something like that.
Yeah, Elon Musk should be very flattered.
I'm sure he's flattered right to the, right to the lawyers.
Right. I mean, of course, the other side of it, too, is that they're taking advantage of... One of the things that he did is that he openly released a lot of the technical design ideas that are put into his vehicles in the hopes that they'd get spread around a little bit more and be adopted by bigger car companies. And so it's kind of interesting to see that it's new upstart car companies instead that are running with them instead of the big companies. But if that means that I can get my hands on a knockoff Tesla Model S for like modest prices, I'm completely okay with that.
Seems not a bad way to go.
Yeah. More people making and using this stuff maybe will help, hopefully, eventually.
I guess that's the idea. It's like if we can convert, and actually if China can convert most, like Beijing, over to a more electric car city, that would not be a terrible thing, because it's
very good.
It's pretty polluted over there.
Oh yeah,
I remember seeing a picture that someone took from one of those like light up billboards in Beijing, and I'm like, wow, it's like the opening of Blade Runner. Oh,
it's always made me wonder. Like, I've seen a lot of those pictures too, but I know the way that America is framed in a lot of other countries, it makes it sound like. Like it's completely the Wild West over here. So it'll be interesting to know how far-fetched that stuff is versus actual reality. Mm-hmm. It might have been just like a really bad day. It was worth taking a picture of.
The person who put up the picture, like you did, say comment saying it was a particularly bad day. Right. So this is not a statement about its constant state, but it's like that is the point that it can get to, and that's pretty impressive and not necessarily ways that are good.
Much like LA back in the like 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in that sense, like, it can be improved, and this might be a way to do that for less, and that's awesome.
Here's hoping. Mm-hmm. So okay, so we've only got a couple minutes left in the show, so unless there's any other stories you desperately want to get to, I'll wrap us up with this day in history.
I'll just mention one thing really quickly.
Okay.
Just because this is going to be a big winner for, I think, at least a couple people here. And I won't get really deep into it. But it has been stated as a fact that the Battle Angel Alita movie is moving forward.
Really?
Yes.
Sources?
It's been dropped by James Cameron and handed lovingly off to... his apparently very special friend, Robert Rodriguez.
Okay. Time will tell how I feel about this, but at least it's happening, so that's progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely knows how to do the action.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the CG.
He does have that, yeah.
We'll see if anything else falls into place.
Yeah.
All right, well, we spoke about L.A. in the 80s and all these other different decades and timelines, so here's this day in history for October 19th. In 1781,
wow,
British General Cornwallis surrendered to General George Washington at Yorktown, Virginia, bringing an end to the last major battle of the American Revolution.
Yay!
Then we have, jumping to 1812, French troops under Napoleon Bonaparte begin their retreat from Moscow.
Hmm.
Yay!
Then we jump to the 60s.
I mean, yahoo! I don't know if that was actually appropriate. I apologize.
We jump to 1960. The United States imposes a partial embargo on goods exported to Cuba or Cuba. Then we go to 1983. Senate passed the bill 78-22, making Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a public holiday.
Yay!
All right, hopefully this last one isn't bad, because I haven't pre-read any of these.
So far, they've been relatively positive.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Then we jump to 1987. The stock market crashed on what came to be known as Black Monday. Stocks dropped a record 508 points, or 22.6%, topping the drops on October 28th and 29th in 1929 that ushered in the Great Depression.
Yay!
Oh.
Grand?
Well, now it's lovingly referenced to by holiday stuff, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yes.
So, yeah, all right. That'll do it for this week's Robots Attack. Thank you for tuning in. If it's your first time tuning in, don't forget to maybe send us a like on our Facebook page, or maybe follow us on Twitter, or maybe email us.
Drop
Caleb,
by, say hi.
You know, those places.
Yes, you can do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow.
Because that's where we have, you know, we post, like I mentioned earlier, we post, you know, all our stories there. They got pictures and videos usually. Not exactly radio friendly, so it gives you a chance to go back and, you know, check them out for yourself.
Exactly. And or go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. Or if you want one place to find all of this, go to robotsattack.me. That has not only awesome show notes and archives of this show, but you can also get all the links and catch up on the coolness there. And speaking of catching up on coolness, a quick shout out to one of our listeners that appreciated our Weyland Yutani reference during the anime watch party.
Sweet.
Nice. And speaking of the watch party, don't forget your assignment for next week's show, episodes 3, 4, and 5. We're going to try 3 episodes, so it's not too late.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you missed 1 and 2, you can go back, watch them, or just jump in from 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'd love for you to participate. Let us know what you think of the show. And, of course, your other assignment of let us know what you think of the new Force Awakens trailers.
Yes.
We want to try and gather some info from the crowd and our listeners and audience and stuff like that, because we'll definitely be talking about it. We'll have our opinions on it. So, but we want to hear yours as well.
Yes. So, are you not entertained?
Yeah.
I am very entertained. And I wish to be more entertained by your thoughts as well.
Exactly. And, you know, if you have some stories out there that you think would be really cool for our show,
yes,
you know, hit up those links as well. All right. That's going to do it for this week's show. On behalf of myself, Joe, and Caleb and Jason, we want to thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week and weekend, and we will catch you next Monday. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.